Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's Friday, Tony, and I think this is the first time in months we've worked a full week together.
I don't think you got the memo, Mike. New guy in town.
Oh, new guy in town and in the studio.
They told me you'd be sitting to my left. Or my right. There was a big argument, you know, I think, the last time we were here about that.
Yeah, this I'm probably your to seat. Your right about 680 miles.
Bears, Giants? Left. Is that what it is?
To your left about 680 miles.
That way.
That Tomlin town. Come on, Mike. Welcome to PTI. Tony couldn't go the distance, so coming in out of the pen to save the show is our great friend, Mr. Frank Isola.
Wow.
Yeah, cheers. I wonder what your playing music coming in from the bullpen. Let's start with the head injury suffered by Tua Tagovailoa in last night's Dolphins-Bengals game. Tua's head hit the turf hard during that second quarter sack. His arm seized up, as we've all seen, and he was immediately taken to a hospital. He was diagnosed with a concussion and released to travel home with the team. This comes just 4 days after the Dolphins cleared Tua to return to a game in which his legs buckled. The team initially listed him with a head injury, but then updated it to a back injury. Frank, what questions does all of this raise in your mind?
The biggest question is, what is a guy who looked like that on Sunday playing 4 days later? It's hard to believe that he could pass some type of protocol. We saw him fall. He grabbed his head, got up, shook his head, tried to get up. His knees buckles and he falls to the ground. Not only does he come back in the game 4 days later, he's playing on Thursday night in a national game. But you know what? Today, Mike McDaniel, the head coach of the team, you can tell where the reporters are asking all the right questions. His point, he said it several times, it was a separate medical episode. They're still sticking to the story that it was a back injury against Buffalo, and this had nothing to do with it. But common sense tells you, you're telling me it had nothing to do with it, that the two injuries couldn't somehow be related. It looked like last night he must have been playing with a concussion, and last night it got a lot worse, and that was horrifying for the player, the team, and the league.
I think the only thing, Frank, we can all agree on is that it was horrifying.
Yep.
But let me just say this, man. This episode, this story, it makes me want to play doctor less than anything I've encountered in years. On this show and going back to my time as a columnist at the Washington Post, and you know you and I have written these columns where we're supposed to act like medical know-it-alls, I'm not going to do that. I don't know whether it was separate or not. Maybe it was separate. It looks bad. It doesn't mean they're related. I don't know. Maybe they are related. And I've been in text chains today with, among others, one Hall of Famer and one who should be. And these guys, I mean, they're very, very tight in their opinions. And they talk about players needing to be saved from themselves and how they were as players and how they feel differently as former players. And you just go through all this. And Frank, I'm sorry. I don't know. I don't want to say that medical professionals are wrong, especially if they are truly independent. Look, this is not like the old days where you had a club doctor walked out there, wink, wink. Yeah. The club was pressuring the guy. There's more than that now. You have independent panel. You have players with their own medical teams that are predisposed to see their point of view. What did Tua's people say versus the independent people versus the Dolphins people? I don't know. And I'm not going to be afraid to say I don't know. This was horrifying.
Mike.
And playing 4 days later makes it look even worse.
Well, that's part
of it. It does.
Greed and player safety don't mix. You know, when you want to play, we love these Thursday night games as a consumer.
I hate them.
And by the way, Tua's not the only one that probably went into that game after 4 days carrying an injury. I get there had to be guys on Cincinnati.
We agree on that again.
And Miami, 100%. One other thing about Miami. And you have a young coach. He's coached 4 games. This is a huge thing. Can we get someone else besides a head coach? How about someone above his pay grade? How about the general manager? You're not getting, I get it. You're not going to give me a team doctor because there's an investigation going on, maybe legal reasons. To make Mike McDaniel, who's been the coach for 4 games, he's got to sit there and answer all those questions? I thought that was unfair.
Frank, before we go on, you've made the point of the day about greed and health, greed and common sense. I've been saying consistently on this show and anywhere I can be since they started it, these Thursday night games are reprehensible. They are just
we
cash
love them.
Grabs.
For players.
I don't love them. The games are often garbage, and I don't love them. Because if anybody who's been in pro locker rooms, and you and I've been there for decades combined, you know what players look and feel like, and they can't get out of bed on Monday and Tuesday. Frank, it's garbage. It's reprehensible, and the NFL will never change it because there's too much money coming in. And I don't know if the players object strongly enough to the existence of Thursday night games because they get paid, too.
Yeah, that's...
And everybody gets paid, and it's garbage, Frank.
Hey, and they agreed to 17 games, so they're actually adding games.
That too.
Once upon a time, Mike, the only Thursday games were played on Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
And back then we used to say, wow, that's kind of a quick turnaround to have to play on Sunday, then play on Thursday. Now it happens all the time.
Then go to the woodshed. We can agree on that.
Yep.
We do.
All right, let's move to last night's baseball. Aaron Judge was idle and fell into second in the AL batting race behind Luis Arraez. Meanwhile, Shohei Ohtani carried a no-hitter into the eighth against the A's. He left the game having pitched 8 shutout innings, struck out 10, won his 15th decision, lowered his ERA to 2.35, and get this, extended his hitting streak to 14 games. Then he cleaned up the building afterwards. Afterward, Ohtani, through an interpreter, said, I know I got MVP last year, but I'm having a better season this year. It's hard to believe. Mike, do you think MVP voters, though, will and should see this as a close call?
He's having a great season. It doesn't mean that Aaron Judge isn't having a better season. Aaron Judge having a better season, too, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, a historic one. I'm not a guy, and my guy Andre Dawson on my Cubbies on the last place team was an MVP once upon a time. That ain't flying. I wouldn't have. I love Andre Dawson. I don't think I would have voted that way, and I covered baseball back then. I don't care about close. You can have 150 voters think it's close, and it can still be unanimous. And then people will say, well, they didn't have it as close because that's just stupidity. The MVP is Aaron Judge. If you care about where a team finishes in the standings, how many games that team wins, it's not Ohtani's fault. He's the best. He's the best player out there. This isn't a vote for most outstanding player. If you want valuable taken into account, and I do, that vote this year is going to Aaron Judge over Ohtani for me.
By the way, Yankees 96 wins. Angels have 70 wins. But here's the thing about Ohtani. We're almost already taking it for granted how unique of a story is. Mike, you've been covering sports forever. We've never seen anything like this.
Nothing.
You know, this
nothing.
Goes back to even Babe
That's
Ruth,
right.
And he's actually better in terms of pitching and hitting than Babe Ruth. Think about this. As a pitcher, he's third in wins, third in strikeouts, fourth in ERA in the American League. As a hitter, he's fourth in home runs and sixth in RBIs. By every sense of the word, that is the MVP of baseball.
However,
it has been 61 years since someone hit 61 home runs like Roger Maris. They, you know, the Yankees have, 7 games left? They got 3 against the Orioles this weekend. You know, the weather could impact it. Judge is going to get at least one more. And we know baseball is all about that home run record. That is the record in sports.
Well, remember, there were some guys.
That's the one you want.
There were some other guys with more than 61, which some of us of a certain age.
American League, though.
Discount.
Yep.
But, you know, I mean, that win total, man. Come on now. You can't just ignore that in baseball. I guess you can. You could justify it if that's how you voted before. I'm not going that direction. And now to the National League, where the huge 3-game series between the Mets and Braves starts tonight. The Mets are 1 game up in the NL East and currently own the tiebreaker over the defending champs. The winner avoids playing in the wild card series and then potentially facing the Dodgers in the divisional round. We have 3 great pitching matchups, Frank. So which one of these two do you favor?
All right, let's give the Atlanta Braves a lot of credit. Coming off of World Series, Freddie Freeman leaves the team. You're 10.5 games. The Mets had a 10.5 game lead in June in the division. But the Mets going into this have 98 wins. By the way, as a franchise, they've only won 103 times. They've lost over 106 times. But they have Jacob DeGrom tonight, and then you get Max Scherzer on Saturday. Realistically, if you get one, you're in a great position. And Buck Showalter,
right.
I got to give him a lot of credit. This is a job that he wanted to be back in New York. He brings accountability to that clubhouse. This isn't like 07 when the Mets had, you know, a 7-game lead with 17 games to go and didn't even make the playoffs. The Mets know how important it is to win the division. You don't want to be stuck and having to win 2 out of 3. We saw what happened to them. You know, they've lost to the Cubs in a series recently. The Pirates, this means everything to the Mets. The pitching says Mets. I say Mets.
Frank, the reason that when they moved DeGrom up to tonight, that wasn't the original pitching matchup. When you move DeGrom up, you're saying not only Okay, we want to win one of these, and we may win two and then just blow it out.
Yep.
You can get him extra rest on the other end of this before going into that playoff series so that you get DeGrom and Scherzer. I mean, to me, that's the best 1-2 ace combination in baseball right now, the two aces. You get them at full strength plus going into the playoffs in a five-game series, not a wild card. What you're saying, this is important to us. We are committed to winning this division and winning at least one of these, if not two games against the Braves. I favor New York in this series. And if they do this and rest those guys and start them in the playoffs, I favor them in that too. All right, we got to take a break. But coming up, is Alabama facing a real threat in Arkansas?
We'll also ask him whether it's a down year for the Big Ten. By the way, the Mets called up Francisco Alvarez, 20 years old, considered the best prospect in baseball. He's going to be a
DH. I guess there could be a 1-0 game or a 2-1 game. If I got DeGrom and Scherzer.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We've got some big college football games this weekend, which makes it a perfect time, as always, for a visit from our great friend from College Game Day, Mr. David Pollack. But, David, we're going to jump back into sort of the lead story and something on everybody's mind today. You were no stranger, having played at Georgia and in the NFL, to serious injuries suffered on a football field. And we just wanted to start with your reaction to what you saw with the Tua injury last night and sort of what you think of the responsibilities of all involved.
Well, I hated seeing it. Obviously, my career ended on one play with a broken neck, and so I've experienced a lot of it. And when I saw Tua's hands, man, it gave me chills up and down my body. I hate seeing that. I hate seeing that from an athlete. I just think it's you know, I saw the Mike McDaniel stuff today and how they handled it, and they said there was no concussion the previous week. We saw him wounded. We saw him stumbling. We saw something was wrong. Now, listen, that doesn't mean he had a concussion, and that doesn't mean he didn't pass protocol. But I'll tell you this as a player, Wilbon, you feel a desire and a pressure always to your organization to get on the field, to go play. Tua probably feels even more pressure to go prove himself. So players want to play. You want to do everything you can to give yourself an opportunity to get on that field. But you could tell something happened a week ago. I don't know if it rolled over into this week, but it was a scary sight. And I know moving forward, they better make sure they're very, very careful about how they handle the head situation, because that was serious and that was not something that anybody wants to see happen and definitely not happen again.
Yeah, well said, David. Let's talk a little ACC football. You're down in Clemson. That's the 5th-ranked Tigers, 10th-ranked NC State Wolfpack. How seriously should we take NC State chances?
Oh, you should take it very serious. NC State's a good team. Dave Doran's got a club that's a veteran club. You turn on the tape and all over the place, all you see is a bunch of guys that have been there for 5 or 6 years. He's got a quarterback that he can trust. The offense has not been what I think it was supposed to be. Devin Leary came in as kind of a fringe first-round pick, maybe second-round pick at the quarterback spot. They've kind of sputtered. They're playing at this place. Clemson's won 36 straight. These games have been close. Last year, NC State, remember, beat Clemson. But I'll say this. I was somebody that questioned DJ Uiagalelei a lot. Last week, he really showed me something, throwing for almost 400 yards. They scored 50 points against Wake. He came up clutch in some clutch moments, and I've seen a lot of maturation when it comes to his pocket presence and his feel and the way he's throwing the football. So I think it's going to be a really good game, but playing Clemson in this place hasn't ended well for just about everybody in the country.
All right, David, number 2 Alabama on the road against number 20 Arkansas. Razorbacks DB Miles Slusher, he says we can hang with them. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I think Arkansas can hang. Frank, last year, remember Alabama was really, really good. They were a team that went to the college football playoff, finished second, you know, almost beat Georgia. They gave up 35 to Arkansas last year.
Yeah.
And they scored a lot of points, and they threw the football with a lot of success. I tell you what, there's a couple things that if I'm Alabama, I'm concerned about. One, the last several times I've been on the road, all last season last year on the road, I can point out so many games going back to Florida, to A&M where they lost, to Auburn where they struggled. They've had a lot of struggles. I don't think that the wide receiver room at Alabama is really good right now. Like, I think they're still finding their way. They don't have the guy like they had with Jameson Williams who could take the top off of defense. So I think they're still finding their way, but it's more of a dink and dunk. It's more of a, you know, short passes to Gibbs, their running back, who's a great receiver, and manufacture offense as much as you can. So very curious to continue to watch Alabama. One thing I do know, you ain't running the football in Alabama. KJ Jefferson in Arkansas, that's what they do best. So how are they going to find the passing game and make big plays through the air? That's where Alabama's susceptible. That's where you saw Texas have a lot of success against them. I like Alabama, but I think Arkansas can keep this close, and because Alabama offense, I think they're still finding themselves.
All right, David, we'll let you go after this. We go from a question about the best to a question about a conference that worries me, my own conference. No secret, I'm a Big Ten guy. But, David, and I know how good Ohio State appears to be, but I think the conference football right now stinks this season. I know there's time to get better, and maybe I'm wrong. Am I being too harsh, or do we kind of stink right now?
Well, if we're talking about Northwestern,
okay, let's just skip that part.
We kind of stink right now, Wilbon. I mean, Miami of Ohio, I believe, 17-14 last week. 1-3. We want to flush that and move on. But listen, Penn State went down to Auburn and smacked them in the face with a frying pan. They're a really good football team. Michigan, listen, they finished their preseason schedule. I can't wait to watch J.J. McCarthy on the road against Iowa this week. I think I'll learn a lot. Ohio State's really, really good. So, I mean, I think, you know, Michigan State obviously is down. They're not bringing much. Purdue, Aiden O'Connell being banged up. I don't know what they're going to bring. But the top half of the league I still think is going to be really, really strong. And you're going to have at least one team with Ohio State in playoff contention. And I think Michigan or Penn State might have something to say about that too. So don't give up on them yet. But you can give up on Northwestern, Wilbon, unfortunately.
No, I can't ever give up on them. I'm down in the mouth right now. Okay, this is good. Now I don't have to – my friend and neighbor, the commissioner, won't have to smack me. I was wrong. He might want to smack me anyway. David, thank you for joining us. You know we appreciate it. You can catch David tomorrow, more of him, on College Game Day from Clemson starting at 9 a.m. Eastern. That's 8 o'clock here in the center of the country, man. That's early. I'll wake up to catch Pollock, though. Let's take one last break, but still to come. The Saints have a challenge at the quarterback position, Frank.
And the Boston Celtics have a new forward. Will Blake Griffin be a good fit?
I don't know.
By the way,
I'm going to wake up in the morning. I'm watching.
Well, you got Northwestern Penn State tomorrow in Happy Valley.
Come on now. I was in a good mood.
3:30.
I was in a good mood until you just...
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Time to get happy, people. Happy 25th birthday, Max Verstappen. The Formula One star is an outside chance of wrapping up his title defense this weekend at the Singapore Grand Prix. Verstappen has won 5 straight races and 11 of 16 so far this season, and this would be the earliest coronation in 20 years. It's a far cry from last season, when everything came down to a hugely controversial last lap against the great Lewis Hamilton.
Verstappen's team, Red Bull Racing, is also poised to snap Mercedes' 8-year hold on a Constructors' Championship. Verstappen made his Formula One debut when he was just 17 years old. The Dutchman is the son of former Formula One driver, John.
Red Bull owns racing teams, soccer teams all over the world. So if he wins, there's still 5 races to go. And Lewis Hamilton said, who wins all the time, said he feels bad for the fans that it's ending this early. Yeah, it'll feel good for Max, though. He's getting
the win. Interesting take. Hadn't thought of that.
Happy anniversary to George Brett and Roberto Clemente. On this day in different years, both Hall of Famers notched their 3,000th hit. George Brett's came 30 years ago today in 1992 when he had 4 hits, Frank, in his first 4 at-bats against the Angels. He got the milestone hit in the 7th. The game stopped for celebration and congratulations, and it was resumed. Brett was having a little chat with Angels first baseman Gary Gaetti about his family and friends being in the stands when he got picked off. Seems unfair. Roberto Clemente's 3,000th came 50 years ago in 1972. In his final at-bat of the season, his career, and his life, when he doubled off the Mets pitcher John Matlack, it would be Clemente's final hit as he died in a plane crash on New Year's Eve while flying to deliver relief aid to earthquake victims in Nicaragua. Baseball Now honors Clemente every September 15th, encouraging players and coaches to wear his iconic number, 21.
I remember the year where George Brett flirted with 400. Meanwhile, you think about Roberto Clemente. They talk about 5-tool players. How good was he? 12-time All-Star, 12-time Gold Glove, 2 World Series, legendary player.
Short list of greatest all-around players of all time ever, period.
Underrated.
And underrated, yes.
Doesn't get mentioned enough.
Happy trails to the Phillies' 5-game losing streak. The Phils beat the Nats, of course, everybody does, 5-1 this afternoon to stop their slide, at least temporarily. The two teams play the back end of a twin bill tonight. Coming into today, the Phillies had lost 10 of their last 13, and their lead over Milwaukee for the last wild card spot had dropped from 4.5 games to 2 weeks ago to a half game. Wow. It's now back to a full game with 6 left to play. 3 at the Nats, 3 at the Stros. The Brewers host the Marlins 3 more times before welcoming the Diamondbacks to Milwaukee for their final.
Yeah, the schedule favors Milwaukee. That's why
it
tonight
does.
Former Met Noah Syndergaard's got a big start against the Nats. He beat them 3 weeks ago.
Quick drip through the big finish. Michael Thomas is out. Jameis Winston doubtful for the Saints game. Big deal.
Yeah, they're all the way to London. He's not going to play. Andy Dalton expected to start for the Saints. Blake Griffin agreed to a 1-year deal with the Celtics. Significant?
It'd be fun, but I don't see it, Frank. The USB Canada and Women's World Cup basketball going to face China tomorrow. Your thoughts?
Our most dominant national team. They never lose. They won by 40. Blue Jays clinched the wild card due to the Orioles' loss. You happy for them?
I think so. I like Toronto. Last one, Mariners can clinch their first playoff bid since 2001 with a win. You like their chances?
Yes, finally. It's taken 21 years, for crying out loud. We're out of time. Thanks for watching. I'm Frank Isola.
And I'm Mike Wilbon. Have a great weekend, knuckleheads. And now...